Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy.
As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
A memory.
Oh, what joy.
My friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious grave.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we open your word this evening. We ask the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to this, your word, and to grant us knowledge and wisdom, Father. More knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it to help others along the way and to help to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, Father, to help them study your word to make heaven their home. Be with us now, Father, throughout this service, and we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. All right. We're going to be this evening picking up here in Acts chapter 23. We've been moving right along here in Acts. Most of the chapters in Acts hasn't been too long, so we've been able to go through quite a few of them at a time. Well, 23 is a little longer. Well, we probably won't get to go through as many this evening as what we've been doing. All right. We know that we've been dealing with Paul, and his defense and all where they have been on him because of his preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and following him, and even those that have listened to his words and have stood with him. And in 22, he was still bound. Here in 23, we're going to be picking up with where he's continuing with his defense a little. Verse 1, and Paul earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." He told them all about his earlier years and how he persecuted the church and all. So he's not hiding anything from them. He's letting them know that really what he is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we all are. Because within ourselves, we really are nothing. It is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that is in each one of us that lets us be and do what God wants us to be and what he wants each one to be doing. And it is by his power, his might, that is brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit, that we can accomplish the things that God will ask of us to do. But we have to do it standing in faith and with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And then there's nothing God will ask of us to do that we cannot do. Because you see, when he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, he sent his power with that Holy Spirit. Now, here, verse 2. "And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth." Now here's a high priest, supposed to be a man of God, and he's telling them to hit him, to smack him on the mouth. Verse 3. "Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sayest thou to judge me after the law, and commandeth me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest?" But you see, he's going even contrary to his own law of having them to smack him. They really know that he is high priest. Here, 5. "Then said Paul, I was not, brother, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." Paul said, "I didn't know he was the high priest, because we're not supposed to speak evil of them." But he wasn't really speaking evil. He was stating a fact, really, when you come down to it. Verse 6, "Perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren." Now I want you to pay attention here. "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." He knows that the Pharisees believed the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't. This way, if he could get them divided, he might stand a little better chance. Now, when he had so so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. See, he's got them divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. They believe in both. 9. There arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. They're kind of, the Pharisees here, kind of leaning toward his side now. Verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, Captain fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. He letting them know, go get him, before they pull him into pieces and kill him. Verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, he's in Jerusalem now. How's he going to get to Rome? We're going to find out. 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews band together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. How would you like to be living your life like this? That you've got those out there that would bind themselves together under an oath. And they're not going to eat or drink until they kill you. Kind of shake you up, don't you? But this is exactly what is happening with Paul. 13. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. More than 40 of them. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, who are they telling that to? They're telling that to the chief priests and the elders of the synagogue. Supposed to be men of God. Now, 15. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we are ever he come near are ready to kill him. Having the chief priests and the elders asking them to have him brought to them so they could kill him on the way. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he has a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who has something to say unto thee. He's going to let this captain know. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him. In other words, he's telling him, see thou tell no man that thou hast shown these things to me. Don't go tell nobody else. Now 23. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, at 70 horse, and spearmen 200, at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts, that they may set Paul on, and bring him safe to Felix, the governor. He's put together quite a crowd, hasn't he? And he wrote a letter after this matter. Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greetings. This man was taken of the Jews, and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause whereof they accused him, I brought him forth into their council. 29. Whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bond. 30. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accuser also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Now that's the letter he wrote. 31. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipas. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what providence he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, 35, he says, I will hear thee, said he, when thy accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment also. But see, he is still bound. Now, we've reached the end of chapter 23, and we're going into 24 now, continuation of this. Verse 1, and after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Now, they're telling things about Paul, see? That's really not true. And when he was called forth, Tertullius began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. And they're lying to him too, even. Because they really didn't care anything about Felix either. But he was good. For, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. 5. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews, the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Well, that part is true. Because that is what he belongs to now. Because, you see, Jesus himself was a Nazarene. Now, 6. Who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. This is what the way they are appealing to Felix now, which up to this point is true. Because the chief captain did take him from them because they were trying to beat him to death. 8. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. You see, he's being accused by his own people and all. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. He's going to be appealing to Felix now. He said, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. He said, I went up there to worship, which is what he was doing, which is also what they didn't like. And today in our own land, we are growing more and more contrary to things here. And we are going to be not too far in the future treated just like Paul and those that followed him. And he goes on here and says, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. He said, they didn't find me doing any of these things. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. 15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. He's bringing it right out straight. 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. He said, I have no offense against God nor against man either. 17. Now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. 18. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with turmoil. He said they didn't find me with none of this stuff going on. 19. Who ought to have been here before thee an object if they had aught against me? Or else let these saints here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. He knows they can't prove any evil even there. 21. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. He said, that is why I'm being called. It's because of the belief in the resurrection. 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come to him. Now, he could get around now, and he can have visitation. He can have those that are close to him to come and visit with him. 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Putting him aside again. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him, whereof he said for him, the oftener, and commune with him. He kept putting him off and sending and calling him back, putting him off and calling him back, because now he was wanting money from Paul. Here 27. But after 2 years, you hear that? After 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left all bound. It's been over 2 years that he has been held in bondage because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was preaching the gospel. All right. We end there with chapter 24. And now, we're going to be going in to chapter 25. Now when Felix, or Festus, was come into the province after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against all and besought him, and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. They're trying again now to get him called in, where he's got to make another trip so they can lie in wait to kill him. See, God takes care of his people. Verse 4. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. You go with me. We're going to go down there where he's at and see if there's any wickedness in him. When he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? 8. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I altered anything or offended anything at all. 9. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Will thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Because he's about halfway notion of having to make that trip so they could kill him, see? But the Lord ain't gonna let that happen. Hang on a page, stick. Okay, now, verse 10. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. He said, you very well know I haven't done no wrong. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. And by him being Roman, they are required to send him. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. Now we find Paul on another trip, and he's not even on another trip alone. There is other prisoners with him. It don't say what these other prisoners are even prisoners for, but we just know they are others there. Now, 13. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, now see, Festus is talking to the king. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat, commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, he's called it, because it's about their religion. He's calling it superstition. And of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Festus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. You see, that's who Augustus is, Caesar. 22. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. Here's everybody. But all this time, he is still being kept prisoner. 23. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. They're still all crying for him to be killed. 25. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself has appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. He sent him to Caesar because Paul appealed to him, but he's got nothing to, no charge, no nothing to send to. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not with him to signify the crimes laid against him. And he didn't know what to write to charge him with. You see, so much. But like I said, this is in the early church days. Now here in the latter church days, we are going to have things like this come against us. They've already started. Think about that. They've already started. In fact, they've been going on for quite a while. Most that will hear this message, I'd venture to say, don't even really know when they took prayer and all away from our children in school. But they did that in 1963. Think about it. That is how long it has been going on now. Of course, it started even before that. But with that movement, it started other movements. And then they took Jesus away. Then they took him out of all of our offices, government offices. Then they took him out of our prayers and don't want no one praying and even ending their prayer in Jesus' name. And yet the Word of God tells you and I to pray to the Father in Jesus' name in order for us to be heard of the Father and to have our prayers answered. Do you think you're not going to face some terrible times and days? And it's coming again to where it is going to mean imprisonment and death for you, for those that will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That is coming. But first we need that great revival to get as many out of darkness and into the light as we possibly can. And we are told there is to be a great revival, and we need to be praying for it. And not just the beginning, but for it to be moving greatly upon the face of the earth. Now, we're going in now to chapter 26. You see, we have been through quite a few. Well, let's see. Maybe we better not. We'll keep that for morning, because there's quite a few verses there, and a lot of things that's going to be happening that I want you to really hear and to understand. We don't need to be moving so fast that we miss a lot of things. That's not what battle study and all is all about. Battle study is so you and I can keep on learning about the Lord our God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about His Word, so we can know how to walk here on this earth to make heaven our home. So we're going to, God willing, we can pick up there in the morning at 10 a.m. back into His Word, because there's still a whole lot for us to see about this one man and what he has had to face and how he is willing to do so, and that he will not deny the Lord Jesus Christ, but stand firm. And that's what we will have to do. And they're already turning against you and I. Even a lot of our churches, just like these high priests and all here, is turned against Paul. We've got those out there in churches that don't want anything to do with you and I that is believing in the truth of this word, because they want to go contrary to a lot of it. And even without them actually realizing what they're doing, they are really bringing people out away from God and taking them back to a belief more or less of the law instead of grace. But just to get them away from their way of thinking. When you see, we are supposed to be in his way. Not our way, but his way. And standing on his word. Speaking boldly and not backing down. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, we do, Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for this word, Father, and for the Lord Jesus Christ who came in to this life and took upon himself all of our sins and all of our sicknesses and diseases, laid down his life on that cross, taking on all that pain so that we could have life eternal in heaven. We do give thanks. We love you. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do love your word. There is a lot of it, Father, that we have not recognized yet, that we don't know, that we don't understand. But as we stay with it, stay in it, the Holy Spirit will give us the knowledge that each one of us needs so that we can do whatever is your will for us to do and what you will ask of us. We pray for healing for those that are sick and diseased. We know that healing has already been given. It was given there at the cross. And when he was beaten, that healing comes to us when we are covered by his blood. The word tells us that by his stripes, we are healed. There's no mights, no maybes. It is a promise. We have to reach out, accept it, believe it, hold on to it by faith, and it will come about. And it's all done in Jesus' name. So as we pray for this healing, Paul, we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with our families. We all have family members that are lost. Be with them, Father. And may the Holy Spirit work with them to open their eyes and their understanding so that they will know that they need something more than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiveness to become a child of the living God and not be lost and be put into hell in that lake of fire. Now, Father, as we separate for this evening and through the night, keep us in hell. Keep us safe. Let us rest through the night, Father. Awake come morning in peace and be ready to come together at 10 a.m. and back in to your word. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great night and hope to have you with me in the morning at 10 a.m. Good night, all.